Hi, and welcome back to the Home Stretch, the daily Utah Chronicle sports podcast. My name is Brooke, and I'll be your host. Today, Kyle will be joining us to give his thoughts on both the basketball teams this year. With the women's team falling on Monday night to Gonzaga and the men's team taking on VCU in the NIT quarterfinals on Wednesday night, let's take a look back at the two seasons and discuss what went well, what could have gone better, some standout performers, and what to expect for this year. Hi, Kyle, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brooke. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Of course. So just to start us off, what kind of things did you see from both teams down the stretch this year?
Yeah, so when it came to the women's team, as most of our listeners know, the last couple games on the regular season schedule were very brutal. You play UCLA twice, who ended up being a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. You get USC, who was a 1 seed in Colorado, and then obviously Gonzaga in the round of 32. Just a brutal stretch in the last 9 or 10 games right there. And amidst that stretch, there was a ton of scoring. There wasn't a ton of scoring distribution. Alyssa Peely led the teams, led the team in scoring 7 of the last 9 games and in rebounding 6 of the last 9. Obviously, she's been the most dominant performer on the team all year, and every team that comes in is keying in on her, making sure that they try and just limit her impact that she has on the game. But obviously, we know Peely, she doesn't really care. If you double-team her, she's going to find a way to score, whether it's from in the paint, from three-point range, from the free throw line. She can do it at all three levels. So just down the stretch, obviously, you know, you play a bunch of tough, tough teams. And we were able to actually get a couple wins there. We beat UCLA and USC both at home, which was absolutely an incredible stretch, back-to-back games. But some of those games that we dropped later on in the season, like to Gonzaga and to UCLA in the final regular season game of the year, there wasn't a lot of scoring distribution. It was mostly Peely kind of doing her thing. So I think that maybe next year when Peely's gone, there's going to be some better distribution of getting the ball to other people and allowing other people to kind of make plays, which I think is going to be really good for a team that's going to be poised to make a big run in March. But other than that, I think they played really well down the stretch. Obviously, they couldn't get it done in the final game of the year against Gonzaga to head to the Sweet 16. But absolutely unbelievable season from the Lady Utes. And I'm really excited to kind of see how they go forward with the program, as they've had the past 2 years really a lot of success. When it came to the men's team, though, you know, we weren't able to make the NCAA tournament. We fell to Colorado in the Pac-12 tournament, which inevitably did not give us an at-large bid, which really was definitely not something that Craig Smith and the rest of his staff wanted to see. We, you know, were poised to kind of make that 9, 8, 10 seed window or a couple of weeks ago, but we dropped some games, you know, that we definitely thought we were going to win, especially like at Oregon State down the stretch was a really tough loss. And then, you know, turning around 2 days later and playing at Oregon, which Oregon obviously went on a run in the Pac-12 tournament. We lost that game to the Ducks by 1 point down the stretch. So there was just a lot of games that, you know, could have gone our way but didn't go our way. But we're making the most of it. We took our bid to the NIT tournament, and we have been playing really well. We beat UC Irvine the other night, and we looked really, really solid against them. And then we beat a really, really solid Iowa team. The Big Ten has some really tough opponents, and Iowa was one of those teams that was kind of on the bubble of getting to the tournament, just like we were. And, you know, we showed that we can play with anybody in the country, and we're able to take down the Hawkeyes. We obviously, our season's still going, which is awesome to see. We play VCU in the NIT quarterfinals, which is on Wednesday night, which is the day that we are recording this. And that should be a really fun game. It's cool to see Coach Craig Smith take those bids to the NIT tournament. I know there's a lot of teams that don't take those bids and they try to move on to the offseason, but I think it's really cool to see Coach take his senior leaders and allow them to kind of play out the rest of the season and try and win a championship. I know it's not the championship that everyone is so is looking forward to and it's so sought after, but it is still a championship nonetheless, and a lot of good experience for young guys and for the guys that are going to be returning next year.
Sweet. Thank you so much. Just to go off of, you talked about a lot about Alyssa. Who were some other standout players from both teams this year that you noticed?
Yeah, so obviously everybody knows Alyssa Pealey. She averaged 21.4 points per game and 6.6 rebounds per game on 55% shooting, which is absolutely just phenomenal. She's going to be gone next year, unfortunately, as she is graduating. But some of the other girls that will be back next year that played really well throughout the entirity of the season was Kennedy McQueen. She was kind of that second option all year long. She averaged 10.7 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, and 3.1 assists. So she can kind of do it all. She's kind of a do-it-all wing player. She's only in her junior year. So, yeah, we get her again next year, which I'm sure that the staff is absolutely thrilled about. And you know, she's going to be coming back. She's going to kind of take that senior role that Pealey had this year, and she's going to kind of take it in her own. I'm sure she's going to do it in a different way, but nonetheless, it's going to be effective, and I'm really excited to kind of see how she's able to come in that role and thrive as that leader. One girl that stood out to me early on in the season was Gianna Neepkins. She unfortunately was sidelined to injury for the majority of the year, but she did start the first 8 games, and she was absolutely on fire. She couldn't miss. I think she was shooting, correct me if I'm wrong, but 55% from three-pointer. She was averaging 17.8 points a game, just absolutely lighting it up. I think she would have been a huge difference maker this year for the team if she were to be able to play. I think that we would have been contending for that Pac-12 title if she was able to go all year. But unfortunately, it's part of the sport. Other girls had to step up, and that's what some of the other girls were able to do. Jenna Johnson was able to step in. She played really, really well. She put up 8.9 points per game and 5.6 rebounds per game at that forward spot. She looked really solid throughout the entire year. She is another girl that's going to be coming back next year. And Ash Vieira, who we were able to actually interview a couple of weeks ago, she was really solid. She kind of plays that pass-first point guard role. She's a great facilitator, great playmaker. She was averaging 6 assists per game, which is absolutely phenomenal. And then on top of that, averaging 8.1 points per game. But like I said, she's going to be back for another year as well with Jenna Johnson, and she's going to be a senior. So there's going to be a lot of leaders on the team, a lot of vocal leaders that have had experience and have seen the court and know what the Big 12 next year. And they're going to be able to kind of adapt to that Big 12 play. And I think that's going to be a little bit easier conference, too, to be in, considering how loaded the Pac-12 side of college basketball is for women. But yeah, I'm really excited for what Jenna and Anesh and Kennedy were able to do. And I think Gianna is going to have a huge impact as well next year. And then when it comes to the men's team, obviously senior standout, similar to Alyssa Pealey for the women's team, but Brennan Carlson, he put up 17 points per game, 6.7 rebounds per game, 1.6 blocks per game. And he obviously was a senior leader. He was in his 5th year this year, used his COVID year, and came back and did a lot of really great things for this team and for this organization as a whole. I think that he has really left his mark as one of the best Utah basketball players of all time. And we can't thank him enough for what he's been able to do this year and what he's been able to do in the past. Just going to be really sad to see him go. Another player that stood out to me was Davon Smith. He kind of got forced into that starting point guard role when Raleigh Royster went down with an injury early on in the season, and he was able to absolutely tear it up. He had 4 triple-doubles, which he's only one of 5 players to ever have 4 triple-doubles in a season in college basketball history. In the entire history of college basketball, which is absolutely unbelievable. Nobody's done it since, I believe, there was a BYU guy, I looked it up, who did it in 2012. And then before that was Jason Kidd. So there's not a lot of people that have been able to come in and put up 4 triple-doubles in games of only 40 minutes as a 6-foot point guard. It's unbelievable. His season averages were crazy, considering he didn't even start the year starting for us. He was coming off the bench, but he ended up averaging 12.7 points, 6.1 rebounds, 6.9 assists. He stepped into that role and did really, really well. I think that he has another year of eligibility, so I really hope that he's able to come back next year and provide that same spark for us at that guard position. Gabe Mattson, I think he had his best year, in my opinion, as a Ute, putting up 13.6 points per game, shooting just over 38% from three, just being a really good complement to Davon Smith, as he loves to drive and kick, and Gabe's a great spot-up shooter. Gabe played great all year. He actually had 31 points the other night against Iowa, and he just is another guy, another senior leader, another guy who's seen it all, who's been around the program for a while now. He transferred in, just like a lot of the guys that are on the roster did. And it's been really cool to see him progress as a defender and as a guard and as a passer. He's just, his entire game has evolved overall in the past couple of years. It's really cool to see. And then another guy, Cole Bajima, another transfer. He shot 40% from three. He was our best three-point shooter percentage-wise. He averaged just under 9 points a game. He's a transfer out of Washington, played really well in his role. Started every game this year, which was really huge for us. And he is also going to be graduating this year as he used his final year of eligibility. And then just under 9 points a night. Just under 9 points a night, Kaba Keita. He played that six-man role perfectly. I know he was a little bit frustrated down the stretch just with the minute distribution, as we had Lawson Lovering and Brennan Carlson, 2 7-footers kind of starting ahead of him. So he was able to, but he played his role really well. He averaged 8.5 points per game and 5.6 rebounds and over a block a game. And with BC gone next year, I think Kaba's going to have a really improved role, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do.
Great. With all those players you mentioned, it was so fun to watch them this year and see what their potential was and how they contributed to both the teams. What were some highlights from both teams this year?
I mentioned it earlier, but the women's team knocking off USC and UCLA at home, back-to-back games, middle of the season, bulk of the season. It's where teams really come together, and they were able to take down two of the best teams, not only in the Pac-12, but the entire country. USC and UCLA ended up being 1 and 2 seeds, respectively, in the Pac-12 women's tournament. And just being able to go in and take down those two teams who have brought back senior leadership, who have some of the better players in the country, it just speaks volumes to the program, speaks volumes to what just our coaching staff preaches, and what Alyssa Peely is able to do as a leader. But by no means did we have the better players on paper, but we play better as a team, especially in those two matchups. We looked absolutely phenomenal. Those were just two games that really set the tone going in to postseason play for us. Fortunately, we couldn't take down Gonzaga, but you got to hang your hat on those two wins. It's really hard to beat top-ranked teams in women's basketball. Those top-ranked teams usually separate themselves. Like, for example, South Carolina, the women's team's going into the tournament undefeated. They haven't lost a single game the entire year. And USC, who is regarded as a similar team to South Carolina at that one seed, we were able to sweep them. We actually beat them on the road as well this year. And that's really hard to do. And I think that, at the end of the year, we didn't get the goal we wanted. We wanted a national championship. But it's really something that, you can hang your hat on if you are that Utah women's team. I know Alyssa Peely was not able to go out the way she wanted to, but she was able to beat her old team that she transferred from 2 times this year in USC on the road and at home. And I think those are just two tone-setting wins for that program, and I think they can only go up from there. And then for the men's team, I think the highlight of the year for me was just watching them take down BYU early on in the season. BYU came into the game undefeated, ranked number 14 in the country. They were on fire. They have a great team. Had a lot of shooters, a lot of guys that could get hot really quick, and we were able to kind of limit the impact that their guards had, and really force their forwards to make plays on the offensive end. And it was really cool to see us just take down a team in front of a packed Huntsman crowd, especially our biggest rival, who we are going to be playing next year in the Big 12 and competing with for a Big 12 championship. So it was cool to set that tone going into next season, beating a team with the caliber that BYU has. A couple other ones, the road win at St. Mary's early on in the season was huge, as they ended up being a 5 seed in the tournament and winning their conference tournament championship. And then some other resume boosting wins. You know, we get wins versus Oregon at home, versus Colorado and Washington State, who all made the NCAA tournament this year. And those are just massive wins for the program. Last year, we struggled getting wins against those top tier teams in the Pac-12, the teams that made the tournament. And this year, we were able to take them down, and I think that's another tone setter, similar to the women's team. Taking down those top tier teams is huge for the confidence of the program as a whole and the coaching staffs for each team. So I was excited to see that, and I'm excited to see what each team is able to do next year.
Absolutely, yeah. There was huge road games, wins, and home wins this year, and it was so exciting to watch. So on that, what is the outlook on both teams heading into the 2024-2025 season?
Yeah, so the women's team, obviously Alyssa Peely is going to be gone, and then Deja Young is also going to be graduating as well. And, you know, obviously those are really tough losses for the team. Both of them run out of eligibility, so they aren't able to come back and use that COVID year. I think that they were both used their COVID year this year. But you know what? It's next man up. You know, Coach Roberts is an insanely good coach. She's been unbelievable the past couple of years turning this program around, and I expect nothing less next year. It's going to be a next man up role. There's Kennedy McQueen, Jenna Johnson, Anesh Vieira, and then sophomore Madison Wilkie are going to have to step up big time. They've all got solid minutes this year. They saw a lot of action. And then you bring back Jana Niepkins. As long as she stays healthy and is able to come back from that injury, that women's team is going to be just as good, if not better, than this past year. I also expect Coach Roberts to kind of dip into that transfer portal. That's how she was able to get Alyssa Peely on the team, was through the transfer portal. And I think that it makes sense for her to kind of go and maybe pick up another senior leader or pick up some young pieces to help kind of mold this core together. And it's really cool to see a lot of the girls in that junior class that are going to be seniors. They've played a lot of basketball together. They've been on the same team for 3 years now. And I think that it's going to be really cool to see them going into a different conference and play some different opponents. And in my opinion, I think it's a little bit easier conference than the Pac-12. So I think they're going to be able to compete again for a Big 12 championship. And who knows? I think they can make a run in the tournament again. They bring back a lot of pieces, and Coach Roberts has shown the ability to utilize the transfer portal in a multitude of ways. So I'm excited to see what's going to be able to go on next year in the Big 12 for the women's. For the men, you know, the same thing. We lose some key role players, Brandon Carlson and Cole Bajima. But, you know, there's guys like Gabe Mattson, Raleigh Worcester, Davion Smith, excuse me, who all have extra years of eligibility due to COVID. So either, you know, they're going to take the transfer portal or they'll come back for another year. But in my opinion, I think all three of them are going to be back. I don't see why they wouldn't. And that just brings back our whole loaded backcourt. And then, you know, our front court is not losing much as well, as we get Keba Keita and Lawson Lovering both back. Keba Keita is only a sophomore and Lawson's only a junior, so they'll be back for another year. And then similar to Coach Roberts for the women's team, I think that Coach Smith for the men's team is going to hit the transfer portal as well. This year we only had, I think, two people in our consistent rotation, and that was Brandon Carlson and Lawson Lovering, who weren't transfers. Or not Lawson Lovering, excuse me, Keba Keita. Brandon Carlson and Keba Keita were the only two guys that were recruited and came to Utah and have stayed at Utah. The rest have been through the transfer portal. So I think that Coach Smith is going to crack into the portal, get some new guys, get some fresh faces that are going to work well and mold well with the guys that are going to be returning. Opposite of the women's team, the Pac-12 is absolutely loaded for the men's side. So next year is going to be really, really tough. And I think that Coach Smith coming into his fourth year next year is going to have a really big challenge on his hands. But I think that he can get it done. We looked the difference between last year's team and this year's team was very, very big. You know, we looked a lot better this year. We played some tougher teams this year and we're able to beat some tougher teams this year. And I think that's going to pay dividends in the long run next year when we're playing some really, really tough opponents.
Absolutely. It will be super exciting to see what both teams can do in the Big 12. It's a great great fresh start to see where they're at, and it'll be super exciting. So great. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Kyle, and thank you for listening to The Home Stretch, the Daily Utah Chronicles sports podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes coming every other week.